Dr. Selig, now we've talked about the domestic side. Can we talk a little bit about the international components and the fact that this was almost a world war when this American Revolution was taking place?
Oh, absolutely. And for that, I think we need to go back to the year 1763, the end of the French and Indian War, because what had happened in 1763 is that the that on the one hand, the global balance of powers that had existed between Great Britain, France, Spain, the Holy Roman Empire, that this balance of powers is upset, and Great Britain emerges as the sole superpower in the world. That's one thing that we need to keep in mind, because that has a great influence on why Great Britain doesn't have any friends in 1775. The other development closer to home, of course, is the fact that Canada becomes a British colony, the 14th colony. That's something that's very often forgotten when people say, well, the American colonies rebel. Not all of them. Canada, as we know, does not. But as soon as Canada becomes British, the single most important reason for why the colonies over here need British support is gone. Without the French threat from Canada, the colonists argue, or not openly, but certainly can argue, that the need for crown forces, for redcoats in the colonies is gone, or by far not as strong anymore as it used to be, because we can take care of the Indians ourselves. This is something that both Duc de Choiseul, the French foreign minister, as well as Lord Bedford, the English negotiator at the Peace of Paris in 1763, are very much aware of. The French Choiseul almost insists on Canada being given to the British because it frees the French hand in the New World. They have no colonies, nothing to worry about anymore. They have a completely free hand, while Britain now suddenly becomes the opponent of the colonies when Britain introduces the Quebec Act, giving Catholics, for example, the same rights, which doesn't go over very well with the New Englanders. When Britain, the Crown, enforces a demarcation line, a settlement line on the Appalachian Mountains, beyond which the colonists cannot settle anymore, et cetera, et cetera. And when you look at the Declaration of Independence beyond these famous words, you find a whole list of grievances, of complaints, of what the King of England has done. But he has only done what before 1763 the French crown had done when France held Canada. So at the very moment that Britain says to the colonists, okay, we freed you from the French threat and the Indian threat coming from the north, but now you're going to have to help pay for that. The colonists say, why should we? We don't need you anymore. And the crown says, well, we'll find out. And then come these, what the colonists call the Coercive Act, the Stamp Act, the Quartering Act, etc. France does not want Canada back. They know full well that if France takes Canada back, then they will be the bad guys again that the British are. Canada is not defensible. Just like Napoleon realizes 20-some years later in Louisiana and sells Louisiana, that's not defensible, that just costs money. That's the one aspect. But the other aspect is that France is very much a continental European power. We need to keep in mind that the center of the universe in 1775 is not Washington, D.C. It doesn't even exist yet. The center of the universe is in Europe. Colonists, British, French, Dutch, Spanish are extensions of European power. They are projections of European power. But the world is still very much European focused and centered until the Second World War, really. So what France, being a continental power, when she looks around, the single most important threat to France and to Western civilization, in a way, for the French, is Russia. Is a Russia that expands westward into Central Europe. In order, France also, however, knows that she is too weak to resist Russia alone, and that she needs British aid, particularly her navy. And so, for centuries, France, which is focusing eastward, tries to get Great Britain involved in continental European affairs, while Britain keeps looking westward. In other words, France keeps looking eastward. And that's really the purpose and the goal for this French involvement in this war, thinking that if we can detach Great Britain from her colonies, she will be focusing more on the European continent and will be a partner of European power politics on the European continent, which, as far as France is concerned, has this goal of keeping Russia landlocked, keeping Russia out of the Baltic, keeping Russia out of the Mediterranean, keeping Russia away from the Indian Ocean. And if you look and biased by alliances, and if you look at it that way, the Crimean War in 1854 is fought over this. The cordon sanitaire after the First World War is behind all of this. This is what French foreign policy is all about. And the French see the colonists as a distraction, and they want to detach Britain from her colonies.